Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, March 12th, 2014. This is the 65th episode of Thinks Out Loud. And as ever, it's just really great having you here. Really appreciate you tuning in. Really appreciate you joining us. I think we've got a really, really good show. And so we're going to go ahead and jump right in. I want to start by talking about something that I want to build on something we talked about last week. In last week's episode, episode 64, Internet Marketing to Make You Happy, I made mention of the success that marketers had, the success that the Oscars had leveraging social media, right? We talked about the fact that Ellen DeGeneres tweeted this photo that became the most retweeted photo in the history of Twitter, the most retweeted tweet in the history of Twitter, and actually crashed the network. And one of the things that really struck me about that, and I have to give full credit to my friend David Deal. David said on Twitter, the biggest moment of the night happened on Twitter and in the audience. And he was so right, and I want to build on that a lot today, because as we've talked about in past episodes, your customers are changing. Your customers are changing a lot. And the groups who do a good job understanding that and using that to their advantage are the ones who will have the greatest success as you go forward. Now, as you know, I don't talk politics on this show. You know, we want to go have a beer sometime and chat about politics and things like that. That's one thing. But, you know, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion or any of that kind of stuff in a business context, right? Well, kinda. Don't worry. This is not going to turn into a political show. I promise you. What I wanted to point out, though, was that there was an interesting thing happened this past week. And that was that President Obama participated on a web show called Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. And it's a show that is Zach Galifianakis, for those of you who don't know, you probably know him. He's the guy in the Hangover movies, big guy, kind of got a big, big bushy beard and stuff like that. Really thrives on cringe comedy. And so it was pretty odd that the president appeared on this web show, right? Well, the reason he appeared on this web show is because the administration is trying to promote healthcare.gov to get young people, millennials in particular, to sign up for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. Again, this is not a debate about Obamacare. This is a discussion about marketing. What's really interesting is the administration believed that the best way to reach the people they need to have sign up for Obamacare, for the Affordable Care Act, was not to go on a television program, was not to take out print ads, and they're doing those things too. But instead, was to go on this really odd little web series with this, you know, sort of alternative comedian. And he's certainly famous because of things like the Hangover movies. But to say that Zach Galifianakis is a household name, or to say that, you know, he's the biggest star in the world or anything like that would be really, really stretching the definition, right? Well, here's the funny part. It worked. According to the folks running the healthcare.gov website, Funny or Die is now the biggest referrer of traffic to healthcare.gov. This is all written up on The Verge, by the way. I want to give credit where due, but The Verge has a whole piece about this. And this is extraordinary. From the standpoint of traditional marketing would tell you, well, you want to go and you want to buy some advertising, or you want to go and you want to do, you know, a big media campaign, a big print campaign, or things along those lines. And instead, the president opted to go and do this web show, and it's drawn a lot of attention, and it's driving traffic to the website, which is what they were trying to accomplish. We don't know yet if it's driving signups or anything like that. Again, so it's possible that this is only driving traffic, but we'll take them at their word for the moment and just say that this is working. And what it really reflects is the changing market, the changing audience. One of the things that I talked about in last week's episode, and in a piece that I wrote called How to Use Emotion and Storytelling in Digital Marketing, the first thing you have to do is understand, who do you think you're talking to? Who is it you're trying to get the attention of? Who is it that you want to have take action? In this case, the administration wanted millennials to take action. They want young people to take action. And so they went and actually aligned their media message, the media they chose to use for this, with where millennials are actually engaging with content. There are a number of other techniques you can use when you're doing this. And it doesn't matter if you're talking to millennials, it doesn't matter if you're talking to boomers, it doesn't matter if you're talking to Gen Xers. You want to think about who it is you're talking to and make sure you're choosing media channels that actually fit the needs of those folks. Now, I would say it's important to note millennials' behavior in a big way for a couple of reasons. The first is they're going to be around a lot longer. Now is a great time to actually engage with millennials and get them on board. Millennials now range in age from about 18 to 33. So, I mean, they're grown up. They're adults now. And it's time to take them seriously as a market. They are also exhibiting different behaviors than we've seen before in a big way. For instance, Marketing Charts has some information that talks about how millennials are more willing than boomers to share data with marketers. I've talked about this in episodes 57 and 58 in terms of how you develop an internet strategy in a changing world and how your customers are changing. And one of the things that we've always seen to be true is that, you know, tech savvy and technology use and things like that are inherited. Except it works in reverse. Typically, we inherit things from our parents, from our forebears. Technology, we inherit from our kids. We inherit from the younger people around us. Right? Most people didn't buy a VCR because they needed a VCR. They bought a VCR because their kids really wanted one. Most people who have video games today didn't buy a video game for themselves. They bought it for their kids. It's that behavior pattern that happens again and again and again. Why do most people have cell phones now or text now? It's not because they were texting people of their own generation. It's that they were texting people of the younger generation. They were texting their kids. They wanted to stay in touch. And what we're seeing is this huge shift that I've talked about again and again and again and again in terms of how customers are consuming media, and it's having a big, big shift, right? eMarketer's got data that shows mobile will now surpass newspapers for ad spending in the UK. Now, obviously, that's already happened in North America. It's already beginning to happen in Western Europe. People are beginning to look at mobile as this real opportunity. And the reason is because many other forms of advertising haven't worked. You know, Recode has a piece that says no one's looking at your native ads either, right? You're worried that nobody was looking at your ads, so you came up with native ads. Well, guess what? Nobody's looking at those either. You know, native advertising content that you embed within a site to make it look like it's site content gets far lower engagement numbers. So you need to find other ways to engage with your customers, with your audience. There was another piece on Marketing Chart. This one cracked me up. I'm sorry. I had to make a joke about it. I'm going to make the same joke now, where they say that 3 in 4 retailers believe mobile will soon influence the majority of consumers' purchase. I'd like to say, and the last quarter are wrong. If you are 1 of the 4, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be, you know, controversial or confrontational or other kinds of cons, I guess, right? But the fact is, mobile will influence the majority of consumers' purchases across the board, if they're not already. We're seeing this again and again and again. There's a piece on beacon.net, B-E-E-K-N.net, that talks about how iOS 7.1, the new Apple iOS version, fixes the way beacons work so that they can work in the background. Beacons are these little tools that you can put in place. They're called Bluetooth low energy transmitters or transponders. And they actually let your phone share information, and they share information with your phone. And yes, you can turn all this off from privacy perspective and the like, but they share it even when the apps that you had in the background are closed. Because the idea is you're going to connect with customers at the time of purchase, at the point of purchase. It's the reason why Mobile Commerce Daily wrote this past week that mobile is central to omni-channel customers, customers regardless of where they are in the purchase path. Or as I like to say again and again and again, it's all e-commerce. This all ties back to getting in front of your customers at the point of purchase or at the time you need to drive them towards a purchase and engage with them when they're ready to. We're seeing a thing where, another Marketing Charts thing, where they're asking, are young people watching less TV? And their answer was, not really. It's declined some. It's declined a fair bit over the last bunch of years. But in the last year or two, the rate of decline has not been huge. What's changed is young people, millennials, and boomers to some degree, are watching TV increasingly when they choose to, right? At their choice, at their leisure, when it works for them. The whole idea of regularly scheduled programming is kind of going by the wayside. Now, some people are fighting these changes tooth and nail, and frankly, you know, I think they're on the wrong side of history. There was a piece on Business Insider just yesterday, actually just past yesterday or day before yesterday in New Jersey, where New Jersey banned direct auto sales. Specifically, companies like Tesla selling their cars direct to customers through the web. I recognize this is a complicated issue and has to do with jobs and things like that and protecting jobs for people who work in auto dealerships and the like. And that's an important thing. I want to be very clear. That's an incredibly important thing. What's also true is customers clearly are looking for alternative ways to buy or alternative ways to connect with the brands that they want or the products that they want. And that, you know, auto dealers and others in similarly challenged positions can't just look to legislation to protect themselves, but again, need to connect with their customers emotionally. They need to tell a good brand story about why it is we're here as an auto dealer, why it is that we're here to help you, and why it is our car that you can buy from us may be a better car than the car you're getting over there directly. I mean, that's really core to it. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot more of these laws in the near term as people try to protect specific industries or specific business models or specific ways they've done what they've always done. A better response is to actually make sure you're doing the right thing for customers. I've told the story again and again and again about Bill Fisher Travel. And these are the folks who don't have a website, only have a phone number, and charge their customers $100,000 a year to be a customer before they pay for any travel. But what they've done is they've also provided a superior experience to the folks who have the kind of money and care about this kind of stuff. So it makes a really big deal. And what I would do is I'd encourage you, I'll have this in the show notes as well, but I have a piece called 10 Things You Need to Know, the Top 10 E-Commerce and Marketing Strategy Posts, that kind of round up different ways you can approach this to make sure you're doing the right thing for your customer and making sure you're engaging with them, whether they're a millennial, whether they are a Gen X, whether they are boomer, and making sure that you're working for them. You're engaging with them emotionally, and you're recognizing that the audience is taking control to some degree, as we saw on the Oscars, and that you need to talk to them in a way that works for them, just like we saw the administration do with Funny or Die. And I think if you're given a choice, you'd rather choose funny than die. Right. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up for this week. Looking at the clock on the wall, we are about out of time. As ever, I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you that you can follow us by going to timpeter.com/podcast and clicking the subscribe link in any episode. Or you can search for the show on iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite podcatcher. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. You should find us for any of those. And a reminder that you can email me at podcast@timpeter.com. I actually had a question that came in this past week, but I'm going to wait till next week to do it because we're about out of time. But again, you can email at podcast@timpeter.com. And I will, again, look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Hope you have a great rest of the week, everybody. Take care.